Buenos días. Buenos días. Namaste. And maganda umaga. We'll work on that one later. How's that? I think I even mess that up myself, but they are pretty nice. They don't tell me that I am. It's good to have you here this morning, especially for us this day. It's been a wonderful weekend for us. Our Habitat crew had 9 people yesterday to help work on a house, and it's a joy to have them do that in terms of helping people, but also grow spiritually in their lives. The family game night was a wonderful success, and I do want you to know that you might be disappointed, but your pastor is very poor at foosball. Our children beat me very bad, so you just need to know that, the inadequacies that I have. Also, Craig Courtney yesterday, the director and composer who was here to work not only with our church, but work with several other churches in the area, even as far west as Elgin. And so it's a joy to have you guys do that. And Antioch. Okay, jeez. You have a connection. All right. But to see the building as alive as it was yesterday with over 70 people, I think, 60 to 70 people here to learn better how to proclaim God's grace and love in music. It was a joy for me to hear them and to see that, and for our choir to be kind of leaders in the community as we invited other churches as part of our clergy association to be part of that. So, do I have anything else left to say? You're hoping not, I'm guessing. You know, it's been a wonderful month for us this January. Even though it's been very cold, today at the second service, we will have our third baptism in 4 weeks. We do have a number of baptisms, you know, during the year, but to have some so close together has given us an opportunity to do that, to be part of that, to reflect on what it means for us to baptize and to be the church. Today we baptize Amelia Marion, who has been a gift to us. And as I've said before, anytime a family brings a child forward to us, to trust us, because they're our kid now, right? We adopt, we claim, we are their community of Christ. And so it is a great honor and gift for us to be part of that event, to have 3 out of 4 children this month. A great moment for us. And it's wonderful that us as a worshiping community, where close to 200 to 250 individuals who come to worship here on a Sunday in the morning and in the evening can come to witness to that and to claim, you know, that we as this number of the church, the many of us, that we can be that group that helps guide this family and this child in love, in grace, and in ways of Christ. And you know, as I was thinking about, you know, doing the introduction to the sermon today and thinking about stuff, I thought, you know, we've been really negligent here in the church at some things. And we do like to support the community, as I mentioned last week. And I have heard that math scores sometimes are kind of tough in schools. So I wanted to pause for a moment, thinking about numbers, 3 out of 4, 200, just to make sure, just for, as a community service, to make sure y'all got your math stuff straight. Right? Can I have the chalkboard, Steve? All right, just, I think this is pretty basic, not a big deal, but just before I get into too much else, 1 + 1 equals. Can I hear, what? You sound kind of tentative there. See what I mean? We got issues, school board member. Come on. Administrators, teachers, 1 + 1, 2, maybe. All right, that's right. And they know me well, so watch it. 2 + 2, 4. Hey, what, look, wait till we get up there. 2 + 2 = 4. All right. Greater than 1 equals. It's amazing. Greater than 1 equals?
Positive number.
1 + 2 is infinity.
I'm not sure.
1.2 is infinity.
We are confused. What does that equal? In today's gospel lesson, we have... Well, in today's readings, there are 2 very interesting readings. The first one is about the church and conflictual things that are happening. And we know anytime you have 2 people together, the possibility of conflict is like 100% plus, right? So we know about the church back then. But also we hear in Jesus, in the reading about Jesus today, he comes out of being baptized and out of the desert, thinking about what his call is to be. And it's interesting, the first thing he does is what? He doesn't start proclaiming the wisdom that he has, who he is or what he is about. The first thing he does is he starts calling friends. Follow me. I need you. He calls people. He asks them, and the first thing he does is to begin to put together a family of people who try to grow together, understand what he is about, and understand what God is about in this world, so they can work at what he is talking about. He does not do it by himself. He puts together a community, if you will. He puts together a church, if you will. And he realizes, even though the amount of power and grace that he had, the amount of love that was in his heart, he could not be a lone ranger and do it by himself. So he puts that community together. Now, admittedly, as I shared with you last week and have shared other times, it was a sorry bunch of people he put together. Those guys just didn't get it. And you think they would. They get this call to follow Jesus, to give things up, to put their family aside, to put themselves and their lives at risk. They feel that call to do that. And they witness the healings and the power of Christ. They witness this great teaching that he is, how people follow him and his amazing wisdom. And yet, when he talks about servanthood, they say, well, I'm greater than you are. What's this servanthood stuff? When he welcomes children among them, the disciples try to keep kids away. Kids shouldn't be coming to you. You're a great teacher. When he welcomes those who are from foreign countries, like the Canaanite woman, his disciples say, no, we shouldn't do that. And when Jesus talks to women, when Jesus talks to those who are not part of who are righteous according to the standards back during that time, they are scandalized. And over and over and over, they do not get it. And I think the simple reason is this. Is the disciples are into simple math. That's it. They're not into God's math. Because when it's God's math, it's a different kind of thing. Jesus said, when two or more of you are gathered in my name, that I am there. So more than one equals church. Did you know that? I don't think they teach that in the school, though, is my guess. When greater, the Son again, I can't move today. When greater than one, Jesus is there. We are part of the church. We are a community together. We are not part of ourselves. And it's interesting if you look at the history of the gospel reading and the history of the scripture. When those individual guys are trying to argue with each other and figure out what Jesus is about and maybe gain their own, what they can get for themselves out of that, nothing seems to happen out of them. And yet, after the death and resurrection of Christ and the ascension of Christ, when they come together in the book of Acts, they come together. And they're not individuals anymore. They suddenly get it. And amazing things happen. Those 12 men and those countless other men and countless women who were disciples of Jesus too suddenly put the facts together. And as a community, as a church of grace, with Jesus as their center, they're more than one. And the greatness of who they are is an amazing thing. We know they were not perfect. They continued to fight, as groups do. They continued to disagree, you know, as teachers do. They continued to struggle, as families do. Is that true? Just some families, maybe. They continued to struggle without it, but still, out of that sense of community and grace with Christ around them, that love and possibility came out of that. Because they each committed themselves to be part of that community, and they each committed themselves to do what Christ asked them to do. When I think about who we are as a church, I wonder if we think about and know about and work towards being who we are called to be. You know, the choir sang a wonderful song about the wise men who were called to the light of Christ. What does it mean for us to be called as a family of God, even in the midst of everything that we do? We come here as family and as community this day, around a bowl of water to welcome a family and a child. But what we do, in the baptism that we will do at the second service, and in the hymns that we sing, in the readings and the songs, the readings that we do and the songs that we sing, are we coming here because of custom and ritual? Or are we coming here because our family taught us, you know, we ought to go to church, that's a good thing to do? Or do we realize this is real stuff? That we are called to be the church. And that we are called to receive that love and grace of God and share that. I want to ask you honestly, and I don't need an out loud answer. Are we truly being the church of Jesus Christ for Amelia Marion, who's coming forward today? Are we committing ourselves that she might know that love and all of us might know and grow in that love? Do we claim, as Christ asks us to claim, as the early church asked us to claim, as the early church gave their lives for, do we claim to be the radical people of acceptance and of love and of service of Jesus Christ? Or are we just becoming comfortable? Are we coming to mouth the words? Are we coming to be family together? And that's a good thing, nothing wrong with that. But are we just coming and being comfortable here? Because it's a place that we go on Sunday morning. We see friends. They have wonderful coffee and cookies. Sing some songs. Or do we really want to know? Do you really want to feel the call of Christ and the awesomeness that is? I think we always do, myself included. Often it becomes ritual for us. Often it becomes routine and comfortable for us. And when we slip into that sometimes, when we're not working at it, we are missing the power of Christ. And we're missing sometimes the love in our hearts and the love that we can share with each other. Today I want to show you a little movie clip. And I know it's been a while since I've done that. But I want to show you a movie clip because it's hard to get these things together. Let me tell you. I spent an hour and a half going through this little clip. We need people who do this better. That's what I know. But I want to show you a little movie clip from the movie called Pursuit of Happiness. Has anybody, who's seen The Pursuit of Happiness? It's about a gentleman named Chris Gardner. I want to use a clip this Sunday and then next Sunday as well. Use a couple clips. It's a story about a gentleman who was trying the best he can. He's bought some medical equipment and is trying to sell that as an entrepreneur to make his way, and it's not working out very well. And so he finds himself in hard economic situations. You see a scene with him and his son here. Things have got so rough for Mr. Gardner in this clip that his wife has left him, went someplace else. He has lost his apartment. He could not pay for it. He went to a day pay hotel. He lost his hotel room because the IRS took his money because he owed taxes. I mean, he has no place else to go. You see in the scene towards the end of the movie that he repairs a medical device and sells it. So you see some scenes of hope for him. But listen to what he says, especially at the end. Listen to what he says and let's reflect on his words and what it means for us to be church.
So good, Chris. It works.
Thank you very much.
$250. Four more weeks of oxygen.
100, 20, 40, 60, 80, 200, 20, 30, 40, 50. Anything else?
No, sure. Thank you.
Yeah. You ready?
Yep.
Are we going to the church place?
No.
Where are we going then?
I thought we'd stay at a hotel.
A hotel?
But just for the night.
You can go back to the cave if you like.
No, thank you.
Ever?
I hope not.
Why not?
Well, because some things are fun the first time you do them, and then not so much the next.
Like the bus?
Yeah, like the bus.
The next day, after work, we just went to the beach, far away from anything, everything, just Christopher and me.
Did you see me?
Yep.
Far away from buses and noise and my constant disappointment in my 10-gallon head. And myself.
Chris, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Dean.
Take care, Chris.
Hey, you made all the right moves here.
Thanks, Chris.
Because when I was young and I'd get an A on a history test or whatever, I'd get this good feeling about all the things that I could be. And then I never became any of them.
Did you hear that last line? I got an A on history tests and I thought all the things I could be, but I never became any of them. I don't want us to be followers of Christ or a community of grace that says to ourselves, you know, 20 years ago, we thought about all the things we might or could be, but we never became any of them because we didn't tend to the things at hand. The power of this movie and the power of this clip, you know, when Mr. Gardner, again, interpreting a little bit, when Mr. Gardner is young, he's got himself to deal with. He's got his wife or his girlfriend to deal with. Here, that little boy laying in the bed, that's what he's got to deal with. And that love and that grace pulled him along. And I don't want us, as a church called Our Redeemers at the corner of Spring and Scoots and Schaumburg, to say 20 years from now, we could have been that. We could have been that. And the things that pulled Mr. Gardner through in this movie, for those of you that have seen it, are the little acts that he did of tending to his financial life, of fixing that machine so he could sell it, of making contacts and making phone calls. It was those little things he made sure he did because I believe he had that love for his son. And I want us to have the love for others around us in the same way. At the second service, when we bring Amelia Marion forward, and at the services we've had this month, when Andre Wesley and Ruby Jane have come forward, I want us to feel that sense of love and the grace that God wants us to know for them. And take the actions that pull us and work us in that direction. Now, please hear me now. You know, you cannot come here it's amazing sometimes to me. You cannot come here on a Sunday morning and not hear how we are doing ministry in this place. From the 30-hour famine to the soup kitchen, the food pantry, the Habitat for Humanity, to the, I forget, whatever else we announced this morning. I can't keep track. I'm not here to say, I think we've got a major problem in the church. No, I am here to say, if you don't keep tending to that attitude and that love and that possibility of grace and service, 20 years from now, you are going to have a problem. Because that's the way it works. So I want to come here today and say, you know, we want to continue to grow in ways of love and grace as a church, but I'm asking you in your heart to say, what are the steps you need to take to continue your spiritual growth as a servant of Christ and to love each other and to love our children and our community and our world? This year has been an interesting year for us as church. For the last 6 months, we've tried to put together family ministry things to say, you know, what's Christ have to do with coming and playing board games? Everything, except when you beat your pastor at foosball. That we might love and serve each other and grow. Their children might know a safe place. This week, our education committee came together with over 15, as well as inviting some of those in our church who are teachers to come together and say, in the next few years, how do we need to grow so that our children who are here can better know the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yesterday, I was here in the morning, and I didn't stay to hear them sing because they didn't have a monotone section. They came and they just sang vows. They learned how to stop. What's a stop? Just stopping? Is that what it is? Yeah. Well, I heard at the beginning. Yeah, I need some math work, don't I? Stop is a stop. But I heard it as I came in. You know, the Craig Courtney, the guy who was leading it, said, I know. You know, this is kind of, he said something like, I know this is kind of basic, but we need to work on the vowels and our pronunciation and our stops. Because the better we, oh. Cut off, see? We need to work at those basic things. Because the more we work at it, the better we get. We want to work at those things that we can do better what we're about here. Because I think sometimes, in the many things that we do often, the service in the church, the teaching in Sunday school, you know, the mission trips, sometimes in all that stuff that we do, and it's great stuff, and I want us to do more. But sometimes, isn't it easy to get lost in all the activity and not know the grace and the love? And doing the little stuff that helps us grow in grace, that helps us develop our Christian character to be more and more powerful witnesses to Christ, we don't do. Because we're too busy doing other things, perhaps. Or we don't tend to the things at hand. It's like Mr. Gardner getting A's on his tests, but not following through with those visions and dreams that he had. How do we, even as we continue those large missions and ministries we want to have and be part of, how do we as a church continue to grow in our hearts in ways of serving and helping and loving others? So I want to give you some spiritual calisthenics this week. And it may seem hard, but it shouldn't. As I was preparing this talk this morning, I read a devotional out of Alive Now, one of the devotionals we give, about a church and a pastor. A pastor who is a very good pastor. And it's not somebody I know, and I don't even know where they're from. It's not in the area. But the person who was in the church talked about how their pastor, his name was Steve, how Pastor Steve would do anything for anybody. He'd drive hours to make a hospital call that was needed. He would see people at emergency times. You know, he's a crazy man. I don't know what he's doing. He was doing all those wonderful things as a pastor. But he got up one Sunday morning in the sermon, and he said, you know, I know in terms of what he did, his call in ministry, he says, you know, sometimes when my wife calls me and asks me to pick up some milk, I get angry. I get upset. He'd drive hours, but take 10 minutes and pick up milk for his wife. He gets upset. He confessed that. And I wonder if in our hearts sometimes that's where we are as well. I want us to do some spiritual calisthenics this week in terms of love and grace and service to those who are nearest and dearest to your heart. Not that we should just become a community closed in to do ourselves, but in loving each other, we grow spiritually and learn more even how to love others. So in this moment, I want you to picture somebody who is near and dear to you that you want to serve this week. Now. This week, I want you to thank God for that person. Just that's all. Thank God for that person and say to yourself, what is one act of service I can do for them? What is one act of service I can do for them? Because I guarantee you, when we do the little things and grow in grace, that only expands. You want to talk about math, that's a multiplication sign right there. You multiply into ways of loving each other, loving community and world in many amazing ways. So think who that is and decide to do one act of service for them this week. And it's going to be a great workout for you. And we're going to continue to grow in love and grace. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for this day and the ways which you have touched our lives. We thank you for your call to ministry. We hear your call to those gentlemen so long ago and sometimes how they struggled. And Lord, we know sometimes we struggle. So, Lord, continue to open our hearts that we might serve this broken world wherever we are called, but also we might serve and love each other. So, Lord, help us do one act of service this week to those that we love, to those that are closest to us, that in that we might not only communicate love to them, but grow in our hearts in ways of grace. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.